All right, Demosai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Lamed Aleph. We stopped on Lamed Amud Beis. It's an interesting Gemara today. So remember, the Mishnah spoke about the idea of Suffolk Gerishin, Suffolk Kiddushin. So essentially, remember again, the case was Reuven is married to two women. Reuven is married to two women, one of which happens to be an erva to Shimon. So just to keep it simple, let's say Reuven's married to Shimon's daughter. Reuven's also married to another woman, so we'll call them Rachel and Leah. Rachel is the erva wife, Shimon's daughter, and Leah. So what happens? So the Mishnah said, for example, let's say Reuven's kiddushin to Rachel, the daughter of Shimon, was besafek. And again, we saw the cases of Suffolk, for example, right? Zarach la kiddushin. Through her kiddushin, he wasn't sure was it kar of law, was it kar of law. So what is the halacha? So the halacha is because it's a Suffolk as to whether, and I remember again, Abosai, so let's play this out. If Reuven is really married to Rachel, who is the daughter of Shimon, then what? Then the Maisa, when Reuven dies without children, so what's the halacha with Yibum? Obviously, Rachel won't do Yibum because she's the daughter of Shimon. And what's the halacha? If you are the co-wife of an erva, you are exempted from Yibum as well. So for example, if we know for sure that Reuven is married to Rachel, the daughter of Shimon, it's clear that when he dies without children, neither Rachel nor her co-wife Leah will go ahead and do Yibum. But in a case of Safek Kiddushin, so what do you do? Meaning you're not sure, was Reuven married to Rachel or not? So again, if Reuven was married to Rachel, the case is clear. They're both exempt from Yibum and Chalitza. However, again, if Reuven was not married to Rachel, then what? Then the only legitimate marriage he has is to Leah. Leah is not an erva to Shimon, and therefore when Reuven dies, what do? We allow Leah to do Yibum, I mean, or Chalitza. So with Shimon. So essentially the Mishnah says because it's a Safek, we have no choice but what? We have no choice but to go ahead and to do Chalitza. Same thing in a case of Safek Gittin. So let's say same case. Again, the case actually in this Mishnah is relatively simple. Same case over here. Reuven is married to Rachel and Leah. Rachel is the daughter of Shimon. Reuven divorced Rachel. But what? It's a Safek Gerishin. Then Reuven dies without children. So the Shaila is, what's the Yibum situation? See, if you hold they were divorced, remember we already established that what? As long as Reuven is not married to the erva wife at the time that he dies, so the other wife, the co-wife, the tsar, is able to do Yibum. But if Reuven was married to her at the time that he died, then Lamaisa again, she's exempt from Yibum. So because it's a Suffolk Gerishin, so what do we do in that case? We go ahead and we say Chalitza. So we'll say essentially what the Gemara, the Mishnah says, a very simple, straightforward ruling. Whenever there's a Suffolk about the nature of the marriage to the erva, the answer to the resolution of the doubt is Chalitza. So remember again, we spoke about yesterday, the Gemara wanted to know, why is it that we don't use symmetrical cases? That by the case of Kiddushin, you know, we did the case of Safek Karov Lo, Safek Karov Lo. Remember again, he's being Mekadesh with Kesef, he throws the money at her, he's not sure again, does the money land in her Dalaramas, his Dalaramas, so that's the case of Safek Kiddushin. So why doesn't the Mishnah cite that same case by Gerish, and he throws her the get, he's not sure, is it Karov Lo? Why don't you say again, Safek Gerish? So the Gemara assume the fact that the Mishnah does not state that case, it must be what? It must be that Lamaisa, in that case of Safek Gerishin, of Karov Lo, that she would for sure not be Rigoreshes. So we left off my timer. So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom on Laman Abba Beis. My timer, why is that? Meaning, why is it that in a case of Safek Karov Lo, we would for sure say she's not Rigoreshes? Rabbi said, because Isha Zu Becheskas Hetra Medes L'Shuk. The Rabbi said, because remember, this woman has a chazaka that she is permitted to marry anyone. The Rabbi said, remember, who is the woman we're referring to over here? Referring to the Tsara. In all these cases, referring to the co-wife who is not the erva to the Yavam. So what does it mean when we say that this woman, remember we called her Leah, Leah has a chazaka that she can marry any man she wants. Now why does she have a chazaka she can marry any man she wants? Because the chazaka is what? What's the chazaka in this case? That she is the tsara to an erva. That she is the co-wife. Remember, Rachel is the daughter of Shimon. So the chazaka over here is that they were married. The get's trying to change the chazaka. The chazaka is that everybody's married. If they're both married to Reuven, then what? Then she is the co-wife of an erva. If she's the co-wife of an erva, then she is exempt from Yibum, which means that when her husband dies, she can marry anyone she wants. So her chazaka is that she's what's called het muteres l'shuk. Muteres l'shuk means literally she's permitted to the marketplace, the dating marketplace. She's available. She's on the market. Ah, maybe that's it. Ah, Amish. Nice. Nice. Okay. Good. It's your contribution to the Daf Yomi cycle. Right. So she's right. She's literally. No, it could be. I was just thinking about maybe that's where the Lashon comes from. No. Isn't that the Lashon that's used on the market? No, it's not. He's on the market. All right. In any event, I'm saying it's interesting. I never thought about that. Okay, she's available. She's on the market. So I'll say, so listen to this. So Aisha zu bechazkas hetar l'shuk omedes umisafek ata bala osra. And now out of suffek, you're going to come to go ahead and prohibit her. In other words, when you say prohibit her, you're going to make her chayeves in yibum. Al ta'asran misafek. Do not make her asura to the shuk. Do not take her off the market. Misafek. I'm really a bias. A bias. One second. Ihachi b'kiddushinami. So I don't understand. That's your logic. That essentially, what the Gemara is answering over here is we're not going to change her chazaka because of a suffik. Her chazaka is that she is the co-wife of an erva who is legitimately married to the yavam, to Reuven. So therefore, her chazaka is that when her husband would die, she's exempt from yibum. Now that there's a suffik gerishin, we're not going to change her chazaka based on the suffik. The Gemara says, well, okay, if you're going to say that, ihachi b'kiddushinami. Why don't you say something by kiddushin? Neima isha zubik. Suppose I'll say just the opposite. Remember, what do we say in the case of Safek Kiddushin? I'll say, in a case of Safek Kiddushin, a man throws Kiddushin to a woman, and it's Safek Karovla, we don't know who it's closer to. So we'll say, what's her chazaka? That she's single. Right? So why don't we say, okay, in a case of Safek Kiddushin, the chazaka is that she's single. And again, if she's single, remember, this is all referring now to the erva wife. Everything is about the erva wife. So if we're not sure if Reuven is married or not to Rachel, who was the daughter of Shimon, to his niece, so let's say, you know, a Safek Kiddushin, establish her in her chazaka. Her chazaka is what? That she's a single girl, which means, again, Leah, his other wife, would actually be permitted in Yibum. To which the Gemara says, do not go ahead and ask her to the Yavam Misafik. To which the Gemara says, no, Hasam Luchumra. Because Rabosai there, by going ahead, and in this case of Safik Kiddushin, by telling her that she has to do Chalitza, then what is that doing? That's a Chumra. We're being Machmir in the case of Safik. Okay, Samar says, one second, just so say, again, the Chumrah will be like this. The Chumrah will be, we're not sure if Reuven's Kiddushin with Rachel, who is his niece, is a valid Kiddushin. Mechumrah will say it is, and therefore what? Or I should say, Mechumrah will say that Lamaisa, the other co-wife, has to do Chalitza. That's the Chumrah. We'll make her do Chalitza. This is not the Erva wife, but the other co-wife, the Tzara wife. So the Gemara says, one second, I'm just telling you, Hai Chumrah da Asili de Kulahu. I'm just telling you that is a Chumrah that could very easily lead to a leniency. How so? Zimnin da Azilhu Mekadsha Umekadish Lala Achosa Kiddushavadi. Because I will say, let's say Reuven decides to go ahead and marry Rachel's sister, and he's Mekadishir Kiddushay Vadai. Inami zimnin da asa acher umekadesh la, or sometimes another man will come along and give her kiddushin vados mekadesh la kiddushay vaday vechivan da asa lamar litzara liyavume amri dekame kiddushin udebasra love kiddushin. And Rabbi said the fact that she'll go ahead and prohibit the tzara, the co-wife, of doing yibum, people will automatically assume that what? That the first kiddushin was good, and what? And the second kiddushin was not. Then Rabbi said, if people assume the second kiddushin was not, then what? Then they will allow the woman to leave that second marriage without a get, when in fact that is not permissible. Rabbi said, what the Gemara is referring to of a case is, if a woman has, let's say just a regular case, Reuven does safek kiddushin with Rachel, and then another man gives her kiddushay vaday. Vaday kiddushin, full kiddushin. So what is the halacha? The halacha is about to say that although we don't allow her to remain married to the second man must give her a get. The problem is that in this case over here, if you don't allow the tzara to do yibum, then what? Then it makes it sound like lamaisa, the first marriage was good, and therefore if somebody is makadeshur a second time, you allow her to get out of that marriage without a get, which of course would be problematic. So what the Gemara is pointing out is, what you think is a chumrah could actually lead to a kuda, could actually lead to a leniency in other cases, top of lamed aleph, keva de kamatzrach es chalitza, made the yada de chumra ba'amahu. But since the Gemara answers, that's only true if technically yibum would be permitted. But because we obligate her to go ahead and do chalitza, people know lemais again that this whole thing is a chumra. Rashi says, keva de matzrach es chalitza, litzara, made the yada. Since you're going to make the tzara, remember in our case, Leah Leah is the co-wife of Rachel, who was the daughter of Shimon, and the wife of Reuven. The kiddushay de bas achiv lav kiddushin v'hai de lo misya v'sarasa chumra ba'amu. So I'll say everybody knows that in a case of safek kiddushin, it's not real kiddushin, but we have to be machmir. We have to be machmir because of also, again, in these kind of cases, you actually really have no choice but to be machmir because otherwise you leave yourself exposed to some significant negative situation. So therefore, again, chalitza essentially becomes our fail-safe, but l'maisa, it's recognizable that it's a pure chumrah. Ihochi gerushinami listening, v'litzricha chalitza. So if that's the case, again, then why don't you say the same thing by gerushin? To which the Gemara says, "If I understand the thing by Gerushin, listen, v'litzricha chalitza, make her do chalitza, made the other dechumra ba'amhu, and people will know ultimately again that what people will know that it's just simply a chumra." To which the Gemara says, "Imata omer cholatz es misyavemes." Well, here's the problem. If you tell the woman she has to do chalitza, Havosai, remember the assumption is every place where there is chalitza also has the ability for what? For yibum. So therefore, you can't make her do chalitza in the Safek Gerushin case because the possibility is what? That lemaisa, remember also, just to keep your eye on the ball over here because it's going to get that confusing, but just going in a couple of different directions. The Gemara is asking a very simple question here, which is, why don't we go ahead and we include in the Mishnah a symmetrical case from Kiddushin to Gerushin? The case of Kiddushin was, he threw the case of Kiddushin, Safek Karov Lo, Safek Karov Lo. Is it within her Dalaramas, his Dalaramas? That's a case of Safek Kiddushin. And that would be a case where Abosai, again, let's say the husband died childless and he had Safek Kiddushin with the Erva wife, we'd make the Tsar, the co-wife, do Chalitza. The Gemara is pointing out that the Mishnah did not record the same case by Gerushin. This would have been, the simple case would have been he throws her the get, Safek Karov Lo, Safek Karov Lo. Therefore, again, make the tzara do chalitza. To which the Gemara understands the fact that the Mishnah did not include that case is why? Because in the case of Safek Karov Lo, what's the halacha? The halacha, she is for sure not migureshes. Why is she for sure not migureshes? Because the Gemara wants to suggest that we're not going to change her chazaka based on a suffix. And her chazaka is what? Her chazaka is that she's a married woman. Because she's a married woman, ultimately, again, the tzara is totally exempt from yibum. And shalom al Yisrael. So what the Gemara is trying to figure out is, why are you saying that by gerushin and not by nisuin? And not by kiddushin, excuse me. To which the Gemara says, so why do we make her do? Why do we make her do chalitza in the case of safek karavla? To which the Gemara says, well, you can, because wherever there's chalitza, there's a possibility of yibum, and people think yibum is possible here also. The Gemara says, well, one second. If that's the case, hachanami im atomer chol. That's misyavem. So we'll say, so why don't you say? Remember, but yet everybody's in agreement that what? That in the case of safek kiddushin, safek karavla, and then he dies. What's going to be the halacha? We make her do chalitza. So why don't you say the same thing over here? You can't make her do chalitza, because if you make her do chalitza, then what? People will think that she could do yibum as well. And of course, that's not a possibility in this case. So Gemara says, well, actually, it's not so bad. Vitis yavim, because I will say, in the case of the safek kiddushin, so let's play this out. Let's say, remember, it's the case of the safek kiddushin. Case of safek kiddushin is, remember, Reuven is married to two. Reuven is, let's work backwards. Reuven marries Rachel. I'm switching up the names for a bit, just to keep it easier. Reuven is married to Rachel. Bona fide, totally good marriage. Then what happens? He decides he wants to marry Leah, who is his niece, Shimon's daughter. Leah's Shimon's daughter. So what happens? Now, and that's a case of safek kiddushin. Case, meaning he throws her the ring. Not sure if it's karov lo. And what happens? Right after he does the kiddushin, right? He dies. So he dies without children. The shaila is, what do you do about yibum? So we'll say, remember again. So the Mishnah said, we make Rachel, the first wife, do chalitza. Why? Because we're not sure, was he married to Leah, his niece, or not? If he was married to her, then she's an erva. If she's to her, obviously to the oven, to her own father. And if she can't do yibum, she exempts her co-wife. But if he wasn't married to her, then lemaisa again what? Then the first wife, Rachel, is permitted to do yibum. So the Gemara says, we make them do chalitza. So the Gemara says, well, how can you let her do chalitza? Because if you let her do wherever there's chalitza, there's also a possibility of yibum. To which the Gemara says, you know what? If she does yibum, we don't want her to do it. It's better not to do it. But if she does it, it's actually not the biggest deal in the world. You know why? Vitis yavim, ve'im b'kach klum, v'chazoka kakaima. Now, boss, I remember, because let's say she does yibum, we're going to let that marriage go through. You know why? Because she could do yibum based on her chazaka. Now, boss, what's the chazaka? The chazaka is, remember, we're talking about now the chazaka of wife number two, Leah, the erva wife. What's Leah's chazaka, Rabbi Yossi, in a case of Safek Kiddushin? That she's single. So because the chazaka is that she's single, technically speaking, that means that Rachel is not the co-wife of an erva. That means were she to do Yibum with her husband's surviving brother, technically, based on chazaka, she has not done anything wrong. So Gemara says, essentially, we have no... In the case of Gerushin, where if she does Yibum, the stakes could be much higher, much higher. So we're not going to let her do Yibum, and apparently we won't do Chalitza either, because when there's Chalitza, people think there could be Yibum. But in this case, Safek Kiddushin will let her do Chalitza, because what's the worst case scenario? If she does Yibum, it's really not, we're not encouraging it, but it's not the end of the world, because Lamaisa, she can do Yibum technically, based on the Chazaka. Esve Abayis, Abayis raises the Kasha. Rabbi says, interesting case. Nafal Abayis, Allah va'abas ochiv, ve'en yadua eizan emeis yishan. So listen to this case. Reuven is married to two women. Rachel and Leah. Okay, we're getting a lot of marriage of Rachel and Leah today. So Rachel is his niece. Rachel is Reuven's niece. She's Shimon's daughter. And Reuven's also married to another woman, Leah. Leah's totally unrelated. What happens? Reuven and Rachel, his niece's wife, are in a building together, and the building falls on them. You know, Leah's under investigation, right? So what happens? So the building falls on them. They both die. But the Shaila, interesting Shaila is, who died first? Who died first? I'm going to say, now you'll say to yourself, Nebuch, what does it matter who died first? It makes a big difference. Why? Because if Rachel, the niece wife, died first, then what? Then at the time that Reuven died, he was not married to an erva wife. Meaning, again, when I say erva, it's not an erva tim chas v'shalom. I mean an erva to the yavam. He wasn't married to the erva wife, in which case, again, Leah is his only wife at the time of his death, in which case what? She's permitted to do yibum with his surviving brother. On the other hand, if Reuven died first, then what? At the time of his death, he was married to two women, one of whom is his niece, an erva to the yavam, and she would preclude her co-wife from going ahead and doing yibum. So, but in this case, Sophia, I don't know who died first. So what's the halacha? So again, the truth is, the Gemara reaches a pretty logical conclusion, which is what? That we make the surviving wife, we make Leah, who is the unrelated wife, do chalitza, and obviously we're not going to let her do yibum. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry? Because we don't know, there's a suffix. So the Gemara says, amai, but I don't understand, why don't we say hachanami, isha zube cheskas hetra l'shukam. I don't understand, we shouldn't make her do chalitza. You know why? There's a chazaka. I'll say, what's the chazaka? The chazaka is... Yeah. What's the chazaka before this happened? The chazaka is that Reuven is married to two women. That's the chazaka. One of whom is his niece, and therefore an erva to the yavam. And therefore, again, the chazaka is that wife number two, Leah, is not in the parsha of Yibum. So why don't we just keep the chazaka intact, say she's not in the parsha of Yibum, and when her husband dies, again, she's on the market. She could marry anyone she wants. And now, you're coming to say that she has to do chalitza. And I will say, remember, making her do chalitza, as we said before already, remember, places certain restrictions on her. Because as we've seen in passing, although we'll see it more in depth, when a woman is a chalutza, she essentially has the status of a grusha. Which prohibits her to a koyim. But more importantly, it binds her to the yavam until the yavam is able to do chalitza. Let's say the brother is overseas. Shimon lives halfway across the world. It could be 3 years until he goes in and he comes here. So now misafek, you want to bind her to the yavam. So maybe we'll say, yeah, you know what? This, we're going to take a machmir pasture on this, and therefore again bind her to the yavam. To which I'm just telling you, chumra de asi lidei kulahu. You know what? That's going to be a chumra that creates a leniency. How so? Shim'at omer choletes misyavemes. Because they will say, what's going to happen? Because if you say she could do chalitza, remember, wherever you say there's chalitza, you raise the possibility that what? That there could be yibum. To which the Gemara kishim'at omer choletes misyavemes. To which the Gemara ultimately says, gerushin d'shchichi gazubu rabbanam. So we'll say, essentially, what the Gemara essentially says is that lemaisa, that the rabbis were not gozer in every single case. In the cases of gerushin, which are normative, regular cases, not regular, but common cases, That's where the rabbis were going. There, Mapolis Deloshchichi Logazu Barabanan. But Rabbis say buildings falling on people is not such a common occurrence, and therefore the rabbis were not gozer in that case. Look at Rashi. Gazu Barabanan. The Suffolk Gerushin Be'erva Lo Tachlo Tzatzara Shim Ata Omer Choletes Misyavemes. Rabbis say it's only in the case of Gerushin. And remember, only this specific case of Gerushin that we saw before of Karov Lo, Suffolk Karov Lo, Suffolk Karov Lo, that the rabbis said we're not going to make you do chalitza. But in other cases, Lamais, because we're afraid that if we let you do chalitza, you'll do yibum. But in other cases, Lamaisa, the rabbis are not concerned. They did not legislate. Therefore, they make you do chalitza. And we're not concerned you may come to do yibum. Inami gerushin, dekaima erva, dekamuchach. Another possibility is the difference between gerushin and the case of the building is that in the case of gerushin, dekaima erva, dekamuchach, vitsarasa, kametzrachas lachalitza. Amri kamu bei rabbanan begita digita ma'alyuhu va'asa liyavumi letzara. I will say because the mice again in the case of Gittin where all the circumstances are in front of us right now. Look at Rashi the kama erva katan. Come on, excuse me. Ukamu chachas da kol roen shizut saras erva haisa va'ata matzrachas chalitza asli meimer kamu bei rabbanan begita ubegita ma'alyuhu ve'ein zut saras erva asli amuves. I will say in the case of the get where the mice both wives are in front of us, and we know there was an erva situation. If you make her do chalitza, then what? Then the mice of the people will say, oh, the rabbis understood that it was not a good get. Therefore, the rabbis making a declaration the get was not good. They're making her do chalitza, and you could run the risk of potentially coming to allow her to do yibum. However, mapolis, mi kamo bahu rabbanam mapolis, do the rabbis know, as smart as the rabbis are, do the rabbis know who died first in the rubble? And the answer is, of course not. Therefore, lemaise, if you go ahead and you make her do chalitza in that case, people will not assume that the rabbis are making a definitive ruling, but rather what? They will just simply assume the rabbis are trying to cover their bases, which, of course, is what the Rabbanan are trying to do in this particular Gemara. So the Gemara actually gives a very interesting answer. In the case of get, if you make the non-erva wife, the co-wife, do chalitza, people will assume that that is a definitive rabbinic ruling, that in fact, again, this co-wife is permitted to the Yavam. And therefore, you may come to a case of Yibam, which could potentially be a very serious transgression. However, in the case of Mapolis, when we require Chalitza, it's clear that why we're requiring Chalitza, why are we doing it? Simply out of doubt to be able to cover our bases. The Gabi Gerushin Mi Lo Tanan. But again, by Gerushin, have we not learned that even in a case of Safik, you should require Chalitza as well? The Hatnan we learned. Haisa Omer, this Birshus Rabbin, Abbas has an interesting case. She's standing in Birshus Rabbin, Vizar Kula, and he threw her a get, Karov La Migureshes. Karov Lo Eina Migureshes. So if the get is closer, remember we said this yesterday, that in Rosh Hashanah, public domain, the rabbis gave every single person Dalet Amos. So you have your own Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashanah, in which you have to acquire whatever comes into your Dalet Amos. So what happens? Standing in Rosh Hashanah, throws her the get, not sure, is it Karov Lo? Is it Karov Lo Eina Migureshes? So again, I'm going to say, if it's a suffix, she's not divorced. Excuse me, let me say that differently. If it's Karov Lo, she's Migureshes. If it's Karov Lo, she's not Migureshes. Mechza, Mechza. What about if it's in the middle? Migureshes ve'ina Migureshes. We both say she's divorced, but not divorced, which means what? Suffolk. Suffolk. Va'armino lamai hilchasa. We say to ourselves, now, what does it mean? What does it mean to say that a woman is divorced and not divorced? Meaning, what are the ramifications of that? De'i kohen asurale. The kohen asurale, that if he's a kohen, he would be asatur. Vi'i ervahi, sarasa baye chalitza. And if she is an erva, i.e. Rabose, let's say if this was the wife who ultimately was the niece of the yavam, and then the husband dies without children, the co-wife would what? The co-wife would require chalitza. V'lo amrinon shim ata omer choletzis misera. So we'll say, what do you see over here? You see over here a mefurasha case of suffolk gerushin that requires chalitza. And yet we don't see that there's a concern that what? That if you make her do chalitza, that if she does chalitza, there's a concern that she may do yibum. Ha itmar Allah, yet we said about this, Rabba Rav Yossi Demar Tarvayu, ha chalishtei kitei edem askin. I will say, which the Gemara said, we qualify the case. What's the case over here? We're talking about two sets of witnesses. Achas omeres karov lo, v'achas omeres karov lo, dehavi le sveka da'oraisa. Our opponents say, what's the case over here? This is mamish. This is turning into a three-ring circus over here. You have two sets of witnesses, four witnesses. Two say the get was close to him. Two say the get was close to him. I will say, when you have a suffix like that, then you have a suffix d'oraisa. And therefore, again, I will say, in the case of a suffix d'oraisa, you will have, look at Rashi, actually, he's right across in Rashi, the haveli sveka d'oraisa, kevan de triami karavlo, lo matzi lo ukmin tzarah chazakav, lo miftra la'am v'lo chalitza. I will say, when you have this kind of situation, when you have testimony, you can't just simply say establish her honor chazaka that lamaisa she is a married woman and therefore again let the tzara get out without chalitza. There is a bona fide safek daraisa, and if we have no choice but what? But to do chalitza misafek. Umas nisin our mishno, mas nisin dahacha bekat achos. Our mishno over here, Rabbi Osei, is what? Is where you have one set of witnesses. And Rabbi Osei, what does it mean one set of witnesses? Two witnesses. One witness says karavlo. One witness says karavla. The haveli sveka derabanan. And Rabbi Osei, in that case, we'll say sveka derabanan. Again, if you only have one witness, that's a safek derabanan. Rabbi Osei, when you have a safek derabanan, then what is the halacha? Then I could say, I could establish the woman based on her chazaka. And her chazaka is that she's a married woman. So we'll say, what's coming out is something very interesting. It's also just a general principle, which sounds like that when you have a safek, Rabbi Osei, what's the interplay between chazaka and safek? So it depends. If it's a safek d'oraisa, then you can't rely on chazaka. If it's a safek d'oraisa, and you have a case of biblical doubt, then mamash, you have to resolve that. You have to do whatever you need to do to resolve that doubt, to cover your bases. But if it's safek d'rabanan, then what? Then apparently, you could rely on the chazaka to resolve the doubt. So the case that we just quoted over here is a safek d'oraisa if she's divorced. Therefore, the ma'aseh, she needs chalitza. The case of the Mishnah was a case of safek d'rabanan, and therefore, again, we could resolve the safek by establishing her honor chazaka, and the chazaka, again, would be she's a married woman. If the erva is a married woman, then what? Then the tzara is exempt from yibum altogether, and including not doing chalitza at all.
Why is that a safek d'rabanan? Two witnesses, one says one way, one says the other way.
Because you don't have real eidos. There's no, because again, real eidos is only going to be two witnesses. Anything less only creates a safek d'rabanan. The truth is, I could take it even a step further. Right, lemaisa, again, you don't even need the witnesses to create the safek d'rabanan. Any case of safek karov lo will by definition be a safek d'rabanan. Safek d'rabanan. Because when it, again, remember, what the Gemara is saying is the only time you create a suffix d'oraisa, this is a little bit differently than the way we think about suffix d'oraisa, suffix d'rabana. We normally think about suffix d'oraisa means a suffix in a matter of biblical law versus d'rabana is a suffix in a matter of rabbinic law. Here the Gemara is just saying it's also in how the suffix arises. If the suffix arises because there's bona fide testimony on both sides, that makes it a suffix d'oraisa because you have biblically valid testimony on both sides, a suffix d'oraisa. On the other hand, if there's no biblically valid testimony, i.e. one witness on each side, or for that matter, no witness on each side. It's just not clear what the circumstances are. That's rabbinic doubt. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Ha'itmar Allah." I'm sorry, I skipped the line. We said about this. Rabbi Rav Yosi, different Rabbi. Hacha b'shteki de edim askinon. Acha someres karov lo, va'acha someres karov lo. The haveli safik daraisa. To which the Gemara says, but we said about this, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both said, that what are we dealing over here? We're dealing with two sets of witnesses. One says Karov Lo, one says Karov Lo, and therefore it becomes a Safek D'oraisa. And that's why we would require over here, Chalitza. Umasnisi, but the Mishnah D'hacha, Bekas Achos, Davisekei D'rabanan. Fine. How do we know that the Mishnah is dealing with a case of one set of witnesses, meaning one witness for each way, to which the Gemara says, Dumi de Kiddushin, because it's comparable to the case of Kiddushin. Ma Kiddushin bekat achos, av gerushin bekat achos. Just as the case of Kiddushin was dealing with one set of witnesses, so too the case of Gerushin was dealing with one set of witnesses as well. I, the Kiddushin gufayu, mimai de bekat achos. But how do you know that? How do you know that the case of Safek Kiddushin was dealing with what? With a case of one set of witnesses. Dilma bebeis kite edim. Maybe he's talking about what? Two sets of witnesses. Ebeis kite edim. If he's talking about two sets of witnesses, so the Gemara says tisyabim ve'im bekach klum. Then Rabosai, again, you should go ahead and what? You should say that she should be able to do yibum, and there should be no problem. The Gemara says, one second. I'm sorry. Ebeis kite edim. Because if you're going to say it's the case of safek kiddushin, is a case also where there's two sets of witnesses, then lemaisa, let her do yibum. The tzara, let the tzara do yibum, and there should be no problem. To which the Gemara says, ve'im bekach klum. Kaimi edim v'ka'amri karov la. Va'at amris tisyabim. I don't understand what you're talking about. You're going to tell me that there are two witnesses that are saying that the Kiddushin was cut off law, cut off to the woman. And you're going to say that, therefore, again, that the Tzara, the wife, could do Yibam with no problem. How can you possibly say that? If there are two witnesses that are saying that the Kiddushin was good, that means Lamaisa, there's the real possibility that she is the co-wife of an Erava, and she shouldn't be able to do Yibam at all. Visu, furthermore, furthermore, the truth is, I would say that even with two sets of witnesses, it should still be a Savi Drabanan. Why? The Aminan Uki Trey Labahadi Trey. Because it will say, essentially, what happens? What happens if you go at it? I would say you have two witnesses against two witnesses. The Isha Ukma Achazaka. And what Rabbi say? And I could go ahead and I should say the woman should be established in her state of chazaka. Rabbi say what we're saying over here is I don't understand why two witnesses against two witnesses establishes cases of biblical doubt. I see it even better. Two witnesses against two witnesses does what Rabbi say? Cancels each other out. Why don't they just cancel each other out? And so what do you do if you cancel each other out? Very simple. Go ahead and establish one based on her chazaka. And we'll say, what's the chazaka? The chazaka in this case would be over here. Remember, in the Safek Kiddushin, what's the chazaka? The chazaka is the Safek Kiddushin woman is what? Her chazaka is, right, that she's single. That she's single, right? Because again, remember, this is the Kiddushin case. That she's a single lady. She's a single lady. And therefore, the Maisa what? Therefore, the other co-wife is not the co-wife of an Erba. And she should be able to do Yibam. To which the Gemara says, oh, well, this is actually a really interesting case. Midi de havi anech say de Barshatya. Because this is like the case of the property of Barshatya. I will say Barshatya was an interesting... Now, it's interesting. It's not clear if Barshatya was an actual person or if Barshatya is just a descriptive name. Barshatya was a person who suffered temporary insanity, right? He had moments of insanity, moments where he was a shota, where his mamish is shota. So again, so Barshatya could be his name, or Barshatya could be a descriptive statement of he is Barshatya, he's the guy who's shtos. Sometimes he's just out of his mind. So you'll say to yourself, so what does this matter? Because we'll say, interestingly enough, the halacha is like this. If somebody suffers, you know, different moments of insanity, so the ma'aseh, again, any transactions they make when they're coherent and together, those transactions are valid. But obviously, transactions they make when they're insane, the ma'aseh are not valid. So the Gemara says over something very interesting. So the Gemara says that it's like the case of probably Barshatya. The Barshatya Zabin Nixi. Barshatya sold a piece of property, and what happened? Asu Bei Treva Amri Kishu Chalim. So we'll say, then there was a machlokes. What was his state of mind when he sold the property? So two witnesses came forward and said, Chalim. He was totally clear. He was lucid. He was together. Va'asu Bei Treva Amri Kishu Shote Zabin. And the other two witnesses came along and said, no, he was in a moment of insanity. Va'amra Vashi. Vashi said, listen, Uki Trey Lahadi Trey. Look, here, now what are we supposed to do with this? We have two witnesses against two witnesses. So very simple. I'm going to line up the two witnesses against each other, which Rabbi say essentially means what happens when you do that? They effectively cancel each other out. And therefore, so what do I do? And essentially, I'm going to go ahead and establish the land in its previous chazaka. I will say, what was the chazaka of the land? The chazaka of the land is Barshatya owned it. So essentially, what do you see from here? That whenever you have two witnesses against two witnesses, they essentially cancel each other out, and the only thing we could do is go back to chazaka status quo. So too, I should say the same thing in the case of the Safek Gerushin as well. Therefore, again, because of that, Ela Amar Abaye, Sabaya has a different pshat. Abaye says, Yogid Alav Reo. So we'll say, now remember again, it's interesting, this whole discussion starts, as you said before, because of a very simple question. The simple question was, what was the simple question? Why doesn't the Mishnah use the same case by Safek Gerushin as it used by Safek Kiddushin? That's the simple question of our entire sugya. This is yielding a lot of conversation. That's the question. So remember again, in the case of Safek Kiddushin, it used the case of Safek Karov Lo. Why doesn't it use that same case over here by Safek Karov Lo, Safek Karov Lo, by Kiddushin? So remember, Rava's answer was, because essentially, in that case, we would not have a Duchalitza, because in that case, Rava's opinion was that Lamais, we just go according to her Chazaka. Fine. But yet, we just pointed out the holes in Rava's approach. Abai comes along, you're getting excited for nothing. Abai says, Yogid Alov Reo. Now, we'll say here, the Gemara is quoting the Pasuk, or Abai's quoting the Pasuk from Eov, just to borrow that phrase. Yogid Alov Reo means His friend sheds light, or his friend goes ahead and teaches about the other. In other words, what is Abaye saying? Tana b'kiddushin, v'hua din l'gerushin. Tana Begirishin, Vahu Adin Likidushin. No, the Mishnah means that whatever the case is of Gerushin it brings down, there are parallel cases by Kiddushin, and whatever the case is of Kiddushin, there are parallel cases by Gerushin. So if I'm saying you're taking the Mishnah's categorizations too literally, you can use the same cases. To which they answer, Only Rava, I Yagid Alav Reyo, Ma Zehu Diktani. And we'll say, so Rava says to Abaye, you know, you're oversimplifying this, because if that's the case, remember again, the Mishnah said that the Mishnah lists the case of Safek Gerushin and Safek Kiddushin, and the Mishnah says by each of them, Chulon Shay by Kiddushin or Gerushin, from it sounds, Ketzat Safek Kiddushin, Zorak La Kiddushin, Safek Karav La, Safek Karav La, Zehu Safek Kiddushin. After the Mishnah states each case, it says what? This is the case of Safek Kiddushin, which makes it sound like what? That the case of Karav La, that's the case of Safek Kiddushin. The case of Ksav B'Ksav Yado, in Bozman, Eid Echad, Zehu Safek Gerushin. So remember, Abayis Hopshat is, now you're getting too literal. All the cases, the Mishnah shares cases between Gerushin and Kiddushin, to which Rava says, well, if that's the case, then why does the Mishnah explicitly say this is the case of Gerushin and this is the case of Nisuin? To which the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rava, Rava says, Kol sheyesh b'kiddushin yesh b'gerushin. Rather, Rava says like this, in reality, every case of Safek Kiddushin, you could find a parallel case in Gerushin. So in other words, what Rava is now admitting is to the fact that, you know what, you're right, even in a case of Gerushin, you could have a case of Safek Karov Lo, Safek Karov Lo. However, v'yesh b'gerushin mash en b'kiddushin. But Rava says, not every case of Safek Gerushin could be created to create a case of Safek Kiddushin. V'zehu de Gerushin lav dafko. So therefore, again, we see that although, again, every case of Safek Kiddushin could find expression in Gerushin, not every case of Safek Gerushin could find expression in Kiddushin. And therefore, again, v'zehu de Gerushin lav dafko. And that's why, again, the Mishnah is not specific about Gerushin. Elu mishum de tanu zeh b'kiddushin, tanu nami zeh b'gerushin. But I will say, for the purpose of, we'll call Mishnaic symmetry, and that's why the Mishnah says, after it lists the case of Safek Gerushin, it says, zehu b'gerushin. These are the cases of Gerushin, because the truth is, many of the cases listed in the Mishnah do not apply to Kiddushin. And once the Mishnah used that phraseology by Gerushin, it's used the same phraseology by what? By Kiddushin. Even though, again, the cases of Kiddushin apply by Gerushin as well. V'zeu de Kiddushin mi'utemai. So what is that phrase, zeu de Kiddushin? These are the cases of Kiddushin, Safek Kiddushin that require Chalitza. What is it coming to exclude? Gemara says, l'mi'ute zman deleka b'kiddushin. Both sides to why? Because l'maisa, again, whereas there is an obligation to write the date in a get, there is no obligation to write the date in shtar kiddushin. Also remember, a man can make kaddish woman in three ways: kesef, shtar, and bia, which means I could use a shtar to affect kiddushin. If I use a shtar to affect kiddushin, I need not write a date in that shtar. But yet, interestingly enough, remember what happens if you write a get without a date? What happens if the get is possible? The get is not good. And we'll get into this in the Gittin. So why not? So the Gemara says, Umipnei malo tiknu zman kiddushin. Rabbi will say, now why? Why is there no obligation to write a date within a shtar kiddushin? Listen to this. Hanich lamadar mishum peri arusa les leper. Rabbi will say, listen to this. Now we're going to see, there are two reasons why you have to have a date in a get. Actually, there's more than two reasons, but there are two reasons stated over here. One is mishum peros. What's that? What does it mean, peros? There's a concept in a marriage of nichsei maluk. Nichsei maluk means a woman brings in property to a marriage. The principal remains hers, but the husband has the right to literally eat the peros, right, over the course of the marriage. However, again, here's what's interesting is, technically speaking, he loses the right to peros as soon as he decides to divorce his wife. Of course, again, it's hard to quantify when he decides to divorce his wife. Only he knows that. If he's an exceptionally honest guy, he'll stop eating peros then. But Lamaisa, more often than not, it's when he gives her the get. Therefore, again, it's very important that there's a date in the get, because the date shows the point in time in which he's no longer permitted to eat peros. So for example, Rabbi Osai, let's say the man sells the peros after the date of the get. Such a sale, of course, would be void, because l'maisa, the husband had no right to sell the peros at that particular time. So if you tell me that the whole reason you write the date in the get is because of peros, I understand why you don't have to write a get and a date in a shtar kiddushin. You know why? Because Rabbosai, when you're mekadesh shomim, you don't get peros. When do you get peros? only after Nisuin. So if the whole point of the date is to tell us about usage of the peros, of the Nichsei Malog, I understand that's not a concern by Kiddushin, and therefore there's no need for a date in a Shtar Kiddushin. However, Lamandar Mishum Basa Choso, Liskan Zman Mishum De'ika De'mekat, Liskan Zman, we'll say, but listen to this, there's another reason for a date. We'll say, what's the reason for a date? For the date in the get, it's actually very interesting. The Gemara says, well, let's say a man is married to his niece. He's married to a niece, and she commits adultery. So what happens? As angry as he may be as a husband, this is still, you know, his brother's daughter or a sister's daughter. He doesn't want her to be put to death for adultery. So what could he do? He could very easily go ahead and give her an undated get. And if he gives her an undated get, so when the witnesses go ahead and come to Beis Din, and they go ahead and what? They go ahead and they say she committed adultery. What could she do? Boom, she whips out the get, right? And she is divorced. It wasn't an act. It may be immoral, but certainly not adultery. Not adultery. So therefore, again, in order to avoid someone covering for their relative whom they're married to in a case of adultery, we make sure that the get is dated. Therefore, no one could inappropriately use the get to cover for an adulterous affair. So using that logic, so the Gemara says, why don't we say Liskan Zman? So we'll say that same logic should apply in a Shtar Kiddushin. Because remember, again, the prohibition of adultery is as soon as Kiddushin occurs. So if that's the logic, then again, I should put a date in the Shtar Kiddushin as well to ensure that, because if there's a blank Kiddushin, then what happens? It could be that Lamaisa, again, the woman commits adultery, the husband gives her an undated Shtar Kiddushin, she could say that what? I wasn't mikudeshes at the time of this relationship, and it became mikudeshes later on. So the same way that you put the date in the get in order that no one could inappropriately use it to cover for adultery, you should also put the date in the shtar kiddushin. To which the Gemara says, no. Mishum de'ikad mekadesh bekaspa, de'ikad mekadesh b'shtara. Lo tikin rabbanim zman. Because I'll say, since at the end of the day, lemaisa shtar is not the only vehicle for kiddushin, but people can be mekadesh shumin with money. People can mekadesh shtar. Therefore, the rabbis not institute zman in the shtar. Amrli Rav Acha b'Rid Rav Yosef, Rav Ashi, v'ha'avda di'ikad dekani bekaspa v'ikad dibshtara. But yeah, I will say, again, when it comes to buying us, this is an Eved Kenani. When it comes to buying an Eved Kenani, I will say, you could acquire Eved Kenani with money, or you could acquire an Eved Kenani with shtar. People do both, and yet what? V'tikun rabbanon zman. Yet the rabbis instituted that when you use a shtar to purchase an Eved Kenani, then what? You have to put some money, you have to put the date. So we'll say, don't give me this excuse that because there are different mechanisms and means of affecting kiddushin, and certainly you don't put a zman in the shtar. Why can't you put a zman? Even though, again, there are other ways of affecting this relationship. To which the Gemara says, no. I'll tell you why. Hasam ruba b'shtar. Because it was in the case of Eved Kenani, most people acquired avadim with the shtar. Hacha ruba b'kaspa. What the Gemara actually means to say is what? Most cases of kiddushin are affected with money. Most shtar was not a commonly used mechanism to affect kiddushin. So because of that, the rabbis did not feel the need to legislate a date in the shtar. Most kiddushin was affected by money. However, again, by Eved Kenani, most acquisitions were affected by shtar. Therefore, again, you should put it the date in the shtar. Ibai saying the other possibility is, this is actually very interesting, mishum delo efshar. Because I will say, the truth is, there's no real way to guarantee ultimately, again, that dating the shtar kiddushin will actually do anything. Why? So the Gemara says, who would end up keeping the shtar kiddushin? Limcha gabe dida, if you give her the shtar kiddushin, what could she do? Machkale, she can erase the shtar, she can erase the date. Right? Let's say she committed adultery after kiddushin and she wants to cover for herself, what could she do? Just again, so she's holding on to the shtar kiddushin, so she can erase the date. Lincha gabe dide, if you leave the shtar kiddushin therefore with the husband, zinnin de basa chosehi umechapela ala. So I'll say, then what could happen if you leave it with him? There are times that what? That he may erase the date if he wants to cover for his wife, who also happens to be his niece. Lincha gabe edim, if you leave the shtar with the edim, idizakiri leisulishod. And I will say, remember, if the witnesses remember when the kiddushin was affected, then let them go ahead and show up and testify about it. Listen to this. V'ilo, and if they don't remember the exact details of the kiddushin, but what? They look back at the shtar. They look back at the shtar. Zinnin dechazu michtava v'ach v'asu misadi. So maybe they'll look back at the shtar, and then that'll jog their memory. The Gemara says, you can't do that. V'rachmana amar mi pihem v'lo mi pi ksavam. And I will say, it's an interesting halacha by Hilchos Eidos, which is what? but witnesses cannot testify based on something that they remember from what they read. They can only testify on something that what? That you remember, that you actually remember. So the concern is, again, if you leave the shtar with the witnesses, so the witnesses, if they're called upon to testify when the kiddushin took place, they may look back at the shtar, oh yeah, I remember this, and that is not proper edus. The Torah says, mipiem. Testimony has come from that, from events that they remember, and not from something that they read. Ihaki, I have supposed to say, for the Gemara essentially says that Lamaisa, again, there's no point in dating the shtar Kiddushin, because either way, again, if you leave it by her, she can erase it. You leave it by him, he can erase it. Leave it by Aiden, even if you call upon them to testify, their testimony may be invalid, because if they're jogging the memory based on the shtar, that's an invalid testimony. I think Marcel, why don't you say the same thing by get? Say the same thing by get as well, to which the Gemara says, Hassam, because over there in the case of Gerushin, Lahatzala didaka asi. Rabosai, in a case of gerushin, then what? Then dating the get actually benefits her. Rabosai, why does dating the get benefit her? Because quickly, remember, if you don't have a dated get, what's her chazaka, Rabosai? Her chazaka is that she's married. It's the get, it's only the get with the date that changes her chazaka. So in the case of the get itself, it's in her best interest to have the date, because it's the date that ultimately shows that she is divorced. In the absence of a date, again, if we don't know when that happened, you know, again, Lamaisa, we assume that she has the chazaka, and her chazaka is that she's married. On the other hand, hacha lechova didakasi. But Rabosai, remember again, by the shtar kiddushin, to a certain degree, the dating of the document puts her at a disadvantage. How? Because why, Rabosai? Because the dating of the document again changes her chazaka. Her chazaka is what? That she's a single woman. So also, what the Gemara is essentially answering is like this: a woman really has very little motivation to go ahead and erase the date from a get, as does the man, because lemaisa, again, it is that date is the only thing that changes her chazaka. The absence of that date puts her back in her chazaka as a married woman, which in all of these cases will spell a lot of trouble for her. It's the get that changes her chazaka. In the case of kiddushin, that's where a dated document, there would be almost the motivation to tamper with that document. Why? Because it's the shtar kiddushin that changes her chazaka from a single woman to a married woman, and tampering that document ultimately would allow her to revert back to her previous state. Therefore, Lamaisa, the Gemara says, if you look at Rashi is Hacha Lechova Didaka Asi Vizman Kiddushin V'itikun Rabbanan Zman V'zinsa Chav Shalei L'shtara O Machka V'kaima Acheskas Pnei Kedimei Dikara. So, Boss, essentially, what the Gemara answers is that Lamaisa, we go ahead and we date the get because there's no real motivation for her to tamper with the date on the get, because it's that get that is the only possibility of saving her from the marriage. Lamaisa, on the other hand, for a shtar kiddushin, there is a motivation to tamper with the shtar, because lemaisa, again, if she committed adultery, she would want to go ahead and revert back to her penuya status. Therefore, lemaisa, again, we have the dating by the get, but no dating by the shtar kiddushin. All right, so we'll stop over here.